She's feisty, she's funny, and she tells it like it is. Get ready for Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide. What are your opportunities right now? What are the possibilities? Ask Corby and cross the bridge from fear to fearlessness and fly. Here's your host, Corby Mitlide.
Good evening, and welcome to Empower Readings on this night before everybody goes bluey. Except we're not. So I want to read you something that I saw online. The wonderful Alicia Kent, who is the significant other of Andrew Brewer, sent it. And not only is it good for the winter solstice, but frankly, use it for New Year's Eve. Do whatever you need. This is what she has to say. The winter solstice is exact on Friday, December 21st. For me, it's at 6:11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's one of the most important time frames in our history. Although the exact time of the solstice is important to note, the 48 hours afterwards is equally as potent, and maybe even more so in terms of where your thoughts, intentions, feelings, and focus lie. The energy is about honoring and forgiving the structure that has held life together up until this point. Move yourself into a place of trust that a new structure has been organizing itself in the quantum field through a collective intention of having a better world. It is on the brink of being birthed onto the physical plane. The best intention during that time is to be in trust. And here are some suggestions of how to work with this time. One, stay away from negativity and martyrdom and be positive and optimistic no matter what. Two, clear your mind and your environment from clutter so you can be open to the incredible insights available at this time and have a journal handy to write them down. Three, pay attention to your dreams and anything that is surfacing at this time, especially old memories and recapitulations. If emotions grab you, let them pass on through. Four, instead of thinking and thinking and thinking about maybe doing something or changing something, make a commitment to do it. Take some time to write serious intentions and don't be afraid to dream big and to leave room for spirit to bring you more than you can imagine. Next, reestablish your connection with guides and allies through meditation and spiritual practice. Ask for help and keep don't know mind about how it may show up. Next, be around friends and family and community that are on the same page. Next, forgive, forgive, forgive. Next, do a burning ritual. Write down with total forgiveness what you are complete with and burn it ritually with an offering of sage or tobacco. Then write your intentions. Next, say hello to the earth and the sun and the new frequencies they are bringing in. Be very conscious and present with your environment, sending light and love into all the physical extensions of yourself. Electronics, electrical system, vehicles, plumbing, clothing, appliances, etc., etc. In this way, you are tuning yourself to the larger energies of the earth and the sun, and then harmonizing your personal environment. Next, it would be a good idea to clean your home and workspace with a cleansing smoke or whatever method you use. Bells and tuning forks work well, too. And finally, light a long burning candle and place on your sheet of intentions along with a vase of fresh flowers. This is how to bring in this new energy that we've got. So do it. And to help us figure out what we're going to do with that new energy once we've got it, I have the fabulous Sherita Starr, who is my not only great friend, but lexigramist, numerologist, astrologer. Sherita's been on my show several times because we are very much on the same frequency. She is one of the smartest people I know when it comes to this kind of stuff. She is not fluffy. She is not panicked. You got a challenge. This is how you deal with a challenge. That's what I love. So how are we going to deal with this winter solstice energy, with the Mayans ran out of rock energy? What are we doing?
The Mayans ran out of rock. That's, I haven't heard that one yet. That's really cute. Oh dear. You know, first of all, you know, it's so funny, you know, you got to love this, you know, that people have been so hyped up about, you know, this date tomorrow. And it's very much like Y2K. that's exactly what it's like. No, the world's not ending. There's not going to be some big crash boom. We don't need to go, you know, escape in pods that they've made in China already. You know, it's just not happening. That funny 2012 movie is the purely Hollywood entertainment. Now, you know, this is, and I will, I agree with, I did see that post that Alicia wrote, that is marvelous, marvelous words of advice, stepping in to, you know, what this is about. And I, you know, I've been talking about this for the longest time. The presence right now of Saturn in Scorpio, which of course Saturn is the planet of responsibility, doing things the right way, learning from the experience, stepping up, you know, utilizing your wisdom, taking a slow, patient pace. He's in the sign of Scorpio, which Scorpio is the sign of death and rebirth, regeneration and change, ultimate transformation. So we are being asked as, and this is, you know, not only just what's happening tomorrow, this is what's going on for the next couple of years. At a very slow and patient pace, are we moving into, it's not like this magical formula, oh my God, boom, we're in a new consciousness. It doesn't work that way. It's going to take a little bit of time. Because if you think about all of how long it's taken us to instill the habits, the impressions, the emotional bank accounts we all hold, and what our belief systems are about, it takes a little time to unravel all those layers and get to the core of what it is that, you know, we need to do to change to move forward. But, you know, I always will say at the end of the day, if you're not in the intention of love, you cannot evolve. And if you're not in your heart space, you don't understand the earth whatsoever. Because those words lexigram some pretty interesting things. The earth and the heart are not composed of the very same letters, just rearranged for no reason. And this is where, you know, this is really my strong point about what we need to do as, as a humanity. We are not in our heart space enough. Look at the condition of this earth. Look at the condition of people physically. People have more stricken with more dis-ease than they've ever been in the existence of humanity. Yes, we live longer, but we're not healthy. And there's another example of lexigrams, the word health. Heal the hate. Let the hate heal. And that is another thing. There is a lot of negative energy that does go on in this, on this earth. Do you have to be a part of it? Absolutely not. It's up to you. You have free will. And the more that the consciousness starts doing this, the better off we're all going to be. For the winter solstice, I did, of course, did some lexigramming because, you know, even the title of the winter solstice has a lot of wisdom within it. And for those of your listeners who may not know what a lexigram is, it is taking a title, a name, a word, a phrase, and it's anagramming it. And the poetic phrasing of the anagrams is what the lexigramming is technically, is what it is. It's spelling out the truth of what that word, name, title wants to share with us. So when you take the letters within winter solstice and you scramble them all up and shake them up in a bag, and you come out with these interesting phrases. And again, I'm only using the letters that are within, I'm only using other words that you can spell from winter solstice. We now enter silence. It is silent in winter's test. We now enter snow in icicles. We now enter slowness. We now settle in recess. We now entice in esoteric interests. We now elect cozier enclosures. Winter tries on resilience. Now let's listen in silent interests. Now let's not settle in lows. Now let's win in winter's rest, nest in seer rolls. So that's a little fun things that I get from the winter solstice.
Those are a huge, huge number of instructions.
Well, hey, winter begins with the sign of Capricorn, and Capricorn is like the worker bee. So yeah, he's going to give you a list a mile long. Here, do this, get it done. I want it done perfectly.
Yes. But it's important because people need to realize winter is not when everything is dead. It's when everything is basically sleeping, resting for the next spring cycle of growth, which is yes. what we need to do as well.
Yeah. And what's also interesting about winter is that, you know, tomorrow, of course, you know, we'll have the shortest day of the year, meaning like, you know, we'll get the shortest amount of daytime. And then, mm-hmm. you know, we have the 3 days where it's about the same. And then we start gathering back in the light again. So winter actually starts gathering us back in the light. We start gaining back towards fullness again. And when we're in the summer solstice, you know, we're at the peak of it all. You know, it's kind of like the full moon, mm-hmm. you know. So in my opinion, we start waxing in the sun's understanding. If you look at the waxing and the waning of the moon, we wax from Capricorn up till Cancer, and then we wane from Cancer back to Capricorn in that sense. So now we're going to be back in gathering phase again. And I think that's pretty cool. I love winter. As long as I've got enough layers on and my you know, my head's covered and I'm dressed properly, I love what winter's like. I think it's fantastic. So, but I love summer too. I don't know. I like all the seasons. So it's that's just my personal thing. Mm-hmm. But you know, so many people, and that's the interesting thing about the winter solstice when it says, you know, let's not settle in lows. You know, so many people get very depressed in winter. You know, they get sucked into, it's snowing again. And, you know, they want to start complaining. And it's like winter is asking you to kind of take a retreat. It wants you to be in that quieter space in your life. And if you're if you love being outside and going cross country skiing, or, you know, you love those outdoor activities, then that doesn't apply to you. But people who kind of like, and I often wonder, if you're complaining about winter so much, why do you live in a part of the world that has winter? Your free will could live anywhere it wants.
I know.
So what's coming in the future for me and how I see it is that the less we complain, the better it's going to be, you know, because the complaining just attracts more stuff to you to complain about. And, you know, when people kind of really start to grasp that, they're going to have a better time.
Well, it goes right with my thing. The universe is a short order cook with no imagination. You keep saying, I really hate this. He's going to hear the this, and you're going to get more of the this.
Right. Because yes, the universe does not understand when you say don't. And I think a lot of people, you know, they'll say, well, I don't want this to happen in my life. Well, guess what? The universe doesn't understand that. It's going to focus on what you're placing your attention on, whether you think you want it or you don't want it. The universe is just going, oh, you're focusing on, you know, like, I don't want to be late. Oh, I late. That's all he's hearing is late. And mm-hmm. that's what keeps happening. So and this is where the shift happens. It's taking your wants, like your don't wants, and turning it into the claiming of what you'd like to have. So it's like, if you don't want to be late, you have to say, I am on time, because mm-hmm. the universe is going to go on time. And that's going to make you on time. Period. End of story. It works.
One of the things I do with a lot of people is when they start writing their intentions or their affirmations, I go over them with them so they see how to write something that empowers them as opposed right. to is basically just tugging on God's tunic and whining, are we there yet? So.
Yes. And it is. It's, you know, absolutely. Everything you just.
Thank you. I know. One of the things that I just, I love using Skype because we can type each other messages. I asked Sharita if she has any lexigrams for Mayan calendar or Mayan calendar end. So she may be working on that a little bit. While she is, I'm going to remind people that this is a great call-in show. If you have questions for your 2013, either from me or from Sharita, that is the purpose of the show, baby. So the number is 248-809-3475. That's 248-809-3475. because we would love to give you a little bit of a heads up about what's happening with next year. Sherita, got any ideas on Mayan calendar or Mayan calendar end?
You know, very apropos that you asked me that question, because if you do have a copy of It's All in the Name and you turn to page 245, yes. Well, you can read along with me.
All right, I'm getting it. Wait.
I, of course, kind of, you know, even in the process of me, you know, writing this book, you know, I knew this was coming to be a huge, you know, topic of discussion. So in the For Any New Age chapter, I did talk about the Mayan calendar. Here's what the lexigrams of the Mayan calendar have to say. Man really need a healer era. Let a real dream heal the earth. Let the real dream heal the hate. Let a real dream heal the heart. Let the heart heal and then heal the earth. Let the candle heal. Ah, thank you, Alicia. And the heart can heal. Learn hatred can heal. Learn the earth can heal. Hate dare the mean man. The heal lead a real man. They made an end date, yet the heart dream rally the earth. A heartened man the leader that the earth need. Man, end the hate, end the hater era. Man, learn the healer heart, dream, reach many. And of course, you know, you could lexigram oodles more phrases out of there, but those are like kind of the most important things that when I was meditating on that title, I said, wow, look at this in here. This is, you know, I love it. So yes, let's all light a candle, because, you know, that's a huge part of it.
I know, you know, how many times have people thought the world is going to end?
It's funny. I'm rereading what I wrote. It's amazing. I need to reread my own book at this point. You know, it's funny because I said, rest assured, if you are in alignment with those angel gains, you for surely know that we've already overcome one major scare involving a particular calendar date in the past 10 years, that of Y2K. Oddly enough, Y2K vibrates to a 5 with a gold Mercury here to represent change. Remembered how it was plastered all throughout the global media that the transition from 1999 to 2000 would create multitudes of problems. Well, I think we all survived that one just fine.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. So. And, you know, this one is really no different. It's just a little bit more significant in the fact that the consciousness wasn't talked about between 99 and 2000. I mean, not like it is with what's associated with what the Mayans were talking about. That's where the big difference is between, you know, the Y2K thing, and that, you know, everybody thought, oh well, just because, you know, I love it, as they ran out of rock, that, you know, oh okay, it's over. No. I've been saying there's way too much heart work to do on this earth, and we've got a lot more to do, because, you know, Mama Earth needs our help, she needs our guidance, she needs our assistance, and then guess what, she's going to reflect that back to us all tenfold.
Mm-hmm.
We treat her, we'll be exactly how she'll treat us in return. So I'm looking forward to that.
Now, how will this float all into 2013? What's the 2013 energy?
Well, you know, 2012, of course, you add that all up together, you get the 5, which is Mercury guided, which is why, of course, this is the big year of change. There's so much change going on this year. You know, there's been a lot of permanent, irreversible changes. And, you know, with loving thoughts and prayers to all those affected in Newton, Connecticut, that is part of what these changes are about, in that whole karmic plan. And I know that you understand that part of it very, very much so.
Yeah.
And as we step into 2013, we're looking at the 6, because 2, 0, 1, and 3 all add up to a 6. And then, of course, you know, everybody's into the drop in the 2 and the 0, and they just want to go with 13. So we'll talk about both, because they do sort of have a little significance, even if it's you're leaving out the 2 and the 0. But the 6 is asking about feminine energy, thinking about what we're doing with money, mm-hmm. and what we're doing about our compassion. Those are the main key points of a Venus guided energy. So that is, you know, what you're looking at with Venus. There's also a lot of idealism that's associated with Venus. She does want things to be harmonious. She wants it to be pretty. She doesn't want anybody to argue.
Got it.
You know, she's not into that. And she would love for people to start seeking both sides of the issue. And seeking to understand then, seeing both sides of the issue, so you can seek to understand then be understood, which is a big deal about compassion. I mean, that's what compassion is. You are not worrying about yourself. You're worrying about understanding the other person first. Then you can be understood. And that's a magical formula. And that's how every relationship, I don't care how troubled it is, if you approach a relationship that way, it can be resolved. But a lot of people, you know, where are we taught to have good relationships in this life? And I mean, unless you like are blessed with the best family in the world, you know, you're not taught it in school. Nobody teaches you how to be in a relationship. Nobody teaches you that stuff, you know? And when you're looking at just the 13, mm-hmm. drop the 2 and the 0, you're going to get the 13, which is regeneration and change, which is the power of genius. Invention, individuality, understanding the difference between what you're allowing and what you're tolerating in your life. The 13 is a number, you know, Chaldean said about the 13, it is not unlucky whatsoever. And if you understand the genius that's involved with the 13, you can have such power in your life and not the kind of power you're meant to abuse, kind of power that's meant to serve humanity. So whether now you want a short thing, because you know we can't get a 13 13 13, because I know everybody was so obsessed with the 12 12 12 thing.
Oh, please. Yes, look, they follow each other like little ducklings. Oh please. Now I have a quick question for you. You say that 6 energy is money, but I also understand that 8 energy is money. Is it money in a different way?
It is money in a different way. It's when you're looking at like, well, I mean, 8 energy is money, but it's like what it is. It's the material results of what you're going to buy with the money.
Mm-hmm.
Real harvest, the real recognition, the real reward. Like when you're looking at these 9-year spans of time. So you're mm-hmm. flipping on through and you get through your first 5 years, you've gone through, you know, you created your foundation in the first 4, the 5th year, you change so much that you blossom and things get moving about what everything's about. The 6th year typically brings in the financial, like, okay, here it is. Okay. You're going to be comfortable and you're going to even out with this. Then you mm-hmm. do your work. And then you get the real harvest of what it is that you've been doing all the 7 years prior. So the mm-hmm. It's money, absolutely, but it's like the real like recognition behind what you've been doing about all that time. If that makes sense, it's kind of more like, what are you going to do with the money?
Got it. Makes perfect sense. All right, let me pop in here for a minute because we're just a couple of minutes before break. If you've just joined us, this is Empower Readings with Corby Midline and my fabulous guest, Sherita Starr. Sherita?
Yeah.
Let's pick someone to play with for the year. So do we have a famous person that you want to look at for what the year would be like for them?
A famous person? Oh my goodness. Well, you know who I have here up in my, of course, why don't we talk about our president?
Love it. Okay, what's going to happen with the captain of the ship next year?
Unless you're living under a rock, you should know who Obama is.
Yes.
I love him. My grandmother used to call him Obamer.
Obamer? Oh, please.
She always had funny like ways that she would get people's names kind of fudged a little bit. She kept calling Obamer. It always cracked me up. So I always catch myself. I always have that in my head sometimes. But I immediately, of course, you know, looked at his chart last Friday, because I was just like, you know, I don't always look at his chart, but I mean, you know, and I mean, it was fascinating because the lunar energy that was going on that day was conjunct the current Pluto that was in his 11th house, which is his house of group socialization, you know, us, the group of the USA, and it's this like emotional surge and overturn in that area of his life that day. And if that didn't come out to pan out to be true in the pattern of energy, I don't know what did. Cause you know, I know he was quite emotional about what happened. And, you know, I do find that he handles himself quite well under these circumstances. But, you know, President Obama, of course, it was no joke that we had a re-election under Mercury retrograde.
Yes.
It's the biggest clue that he would get re-elected, aside from the fact that he is in that eight personal year right now. So he is in the year of the harvest, the recognition and reward. So I kind of had a feeling he was going to, you know, he was going to seal the deal just because, you know, we were going to give it to him. It's in his natal energy that's the case. However, what's coming up for him next year is that he goes into the 9 year. So he starts to see in 2013 a lot of release going on. And of course, with him being the president of our country, it's going to be a lot of things going on with the United States. I think he's going to have a lot of tension around him. He's going to have a lot of conflict going on. He's going to have to rise up in courage like he's never risen up in courage probably in his entire life. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got a lot of and there's an interesting the transit of Saturn for him right now is really asking him to change his beliefs. Mm-hmm. In fact, his Saturn is conjuncting his natal Neptune right now, this whole past week. So that brought up a very heavy thing for him to start to understand what is it that he believes about being empathic, being sympathetic for humanity, and what is really going on in this world. I imagine he's got quite the thoughts going on in his head right now. Mm. And I'm sure we're never going to hear about them because, well, first of all, it's really none of my business what goes on in his head, but you know, even though the media would love to make it our business. You know, he's coming up to this Jupiter retrograde for him is going to come back very, very close to his natal moon. But he should start to feel, you know, a little bit more, you know, kind of smooth and that things are moving forward. Next year he gets a very big boost in his house of creativity. His children, we may see a little bit more like media about his kids, although they've been very good about keeping the daughters out of the, you know, then again, I don't watch the TV, so I'm not the best judge to know what's being seen on the news all the time.
So he keeps them out, which is good. You know, they need a little childhood.
But I have a feeling you're going to see some things about his kids next year. You will see a little bit more about them. That's going to come out a little bit. Like he may relax about that a little is just my thoughts. But by the time President Obama is done with this presidency, he will not be able to get reelected because he'll be done. The 8 years, he will be in a two personal year. And that's the big whammy a lot of the time. So I do often look ahead for him and go, he's going to look a lot older than he is right now. I guarantee you that. Because, you know, it's remarkable how the presidency ages a man immensely. <Yeah. laughs> I mean, I just marveled at that. Like, anybody I've ever seen in office, like you look at a picture of them when they entered and when they leave and it's like, wow, mm-hmm. Now you've got all gray and white hair. You know?
Yeah. Sherita, we ran out of time. We always run out of time. We always have more we could talk about. Where are people going to find you in the meantime? Give us again.
It'll be so much chillier by then. Yes. You can find me on the web. I am at SheritaStar.com. And I'm on Facebook. You got Sherita Star Secrets on Facebook. The book is all in the name and Sherita Star on Facebook. And then I'm Sherita Lexigramist on Facebook because of lack of a better title. They won't. So I'm like, I had to keep it the Lexigramist. And it's the one thing I do that nobody else does. So that's why I said, well, let me clarify.
Gotcha. So until next week, this has been Empower Radio, Empower Readings with Corby Mintlive. We will see you in 7 days.